we go into Detroit and we laid a 50 burger on them.
Oh, damn, y'all, meow, meow. I'll be a happy mofo.
If we go into Detroit and put a 50 burger on the Lions, we're winning the Super Bowl, boys.
Good.
All right, we got to stop, Drew. We got to get the show.
We can't quit.
We're like 12-year-olds. We're like grandfatherly 12-year-olds. Let's go.
Grandfatherly 12-year-olds here for Good Morning Gallahorn. Once again, it's Ted. Obviously
Ted.
Clapped. Drew, who knew how to clap too?
And Ted Nugent.
Of course.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. And yourself?
I didn't get to talk to Ted after that big monstrosity 41-17 win.
Yeah, I was so here's the deal on that.
I don't want to hear that you're a fucking wine taster.
Let's hear it.
So my wife, she's put up with me for like 30 years. And like once or twice a year, she asked me to go to one of her wine group meetings. And apparently, she says I agreed to this months ago, which if I did, I'm not saying she lied, but I was under the assumption it was a Saturday, not a Sunday meeting.
Right.
So she's like, hey, don't forget Sunday at, you know, we got the thing. I'm like, Sunday, what time? Well, it's at noon. No. And she looked, it was like at 3. So I got to see like the first half. And believe it or not, I turned it off. I turned the game off right after Miami ran in for a 75-yard touchdown to make it 21-17. I'm like, well, this is probably a good turning point to turn it off because the Vikings are losing anyways. So we go to that.
Right. That's how kind of I was feeling too.
So we go to that thing, and I'm like, well, at least, you know, while we're driving there, it was over in West County in Dade, Shimer, the area. So West County is like at least a 30 to 40 minute drive for traffic. I'm like, well, she'll drive. I'll pull it up on my Sunday Ticket mobile on my phone, and I'll watch most of the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. We get in the car, and we're not on the road more than 5 minutes. Well, the game was on here locally, so it wasn't on Sunday Ticket. And so I go to my DirecTV app, and they don't play local channels live on streaming. So
that's
I was
right.
Host. I was actually host. So I'm like, well, okay, fine. I'll go to the Red Zone channel on Sunday Ticket, and I'll see a snippet of the game here and there, and I'll just get caught up. It won't be that big a deal. And my app logs out, and I try to log back in, and it says it's the wrong password and username, and it wouldn't let me back in. So I've got this whole thing going on. Oh, it was a mess. So whatever. Anyways, good win, great win. Sorry I missed the recap show, but I was learning about champagne and American sparkling wines.
Well, I loved your response. You know, what is the difference between champagne and sparkling wines?
Okay, so like the wine person says, well, American sparkling wine, it can only be called champagne if it's from the Champagne region in France. Okay, cool. So the guy said, we do one and then we do a French one. We do an American one and a French one. And I look over to my wife and I'm like kind of real quiet because it's kind of a hoity-toity crowd. I'm like, would it be appropriate to say that the French champagne surrendered to the palate while the American one invaded and conquered the palate? She shot me a couple dagger eyes and said, you better not say that. So I did.
Yeah, you should have went for it.
Anyway.
Absolutely. But do you know that most of those grapevines that are presently used in Champagne, France, came from California?
I don't care. Dave, let me give you the stock answer I give my wife. I don't care. I don't care about the soil composition. I don't care what slope of the hill the gradient is that the wind hits it on. I don't care.
All we care about now is getting a wild card.
There we go.
We don't care about wine or champagne or none of that shit.
Right.
Well, after what's his face? Collage.
From Arizona State, yeah.
Yeah, I ran that back for 75 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings defense shut them down for a grand total of 10 yards after that.
That was amazing.
It just, they played at an elite level. You know, besides the nine sacks, they pressured Tannehill on over 50% of his dropbacks. That's amazing.
It might have been the best half defensively under Zimmer since he's been there. That's kind of what the more I've been researching and looking at the numbers, you're right. It was fantastic.
Are you talking minus the run or even with that run included?
No, I'm talking more consolidated to that third and fourth quarter, second half of that game. You know what's really strange, guys, is we had nine sacks. Mm-hmm. We had one in the first half and eight in the second half, which set a Viking record. It's the most sacks the Vikings have ever had in a half of football.
Really?
Yeah, and usually it's the other way around in football games. You see a lot of sacks in the first half, then the coaches will adjust, leave a tight end in, leave an extra back in. They'll go max protect because they're getting their ass kicked, and then you'll see the sacks drop off. Very rarely do you see, especially with that kind of an increase, going from one to eight is really, really rare. But that's how it went.
Well, it's
very strange.
And one thing I noticed is that Mike Zimmer, I don't know if it was like to send a message to the team or to the NFL or to the fans or whatever, but he seemed to blitz a lot more in the second half. Mackenzie Alexander was coming. Harrison Smith was coming.
Right.
The linebackers were coming. And Ryan Tannehill, and maybe it was because Ryan Tannehill's ankles were wrapped so bad they looked like two club foots. Did you see that picture?
They look like freaking
cameras. Oh, yep. So yeah, whatever. It was a great performance.
He was not having a good time. They were psyched up and they were playing with that intensity that we've all been waiting for the whole season. And it was really good to see. It was just a lot of pressure, and it was really, really good to see.
It was
good. It was a good Balazs run. Zim took credit for it.
Who what?
On that Balazs run, Zim took credit for it. And why am I going dark?
I don't know. Lost your beard, man. And your Kareem Abdul-Jabbar glasses. Where'd you go, Kareem?
I see that, but I just, what in the heck is going on?
Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. What happened to the host?
We'll improvise. We'll adapt. No, we'll overcome.
Look at Ted. If you take away that awful pick six and that Balazs run, we did boat race those fuckers, dude.
Well, we did anyways. But here's the thing with that. You know, everybody said, oh, the Vikings are back. The Vikings are back. The Vikings are back. My only concern is, A, that it was Miami. And, sure, yeah, they were 7-6. But you rolled out those numbers in the preview show. Their defense is not very good.
29th, yeah.
Yeah. And they were 29th running. Yeah, 29th running and 29th passing.
Right.
If they give up plays like that in the playoffs or against the Bears in week 17, they're going to get run out of the stadium, man, because
yes, they are.
21-0 versus all of a sudden 21-17 with two huge plays, I don't want to say back-to-back, but within close proximity of one another, is a huge momentum shifter, and the Vikings will be on the road, and that will be a completely different animal than what we saw at US Bank Stadium on Sunday.
I think I would have to agree. I think we're all reserved a little bit. We like the win, but we know that's, you know, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, very much so.
So defensively, I'm feeling a lot better about this team. The offense did get it going a little bit, but we hit that dry spell once again. Christopher Gates had some really good points about Cousins, and I can't really elaborate much more than what he said. He was pretty much spot on. We got a
refresh me. I didn't see the whole thing. I was actually busy at work today.
Well, he kind of talked about from the standpoint of and a lot of it we talked about before I had my technical problems, but the fact that he is what he is, and this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, I saw that part. Yeah,
you know the turnovers and the what kind of gets me about him, Ted, is that, you know, he's got to be a little bit more tougher in the pocket. He's got to be a little bit more resilient. I saw him go down on a play where a guy brushed up against his ankle. I mean, it was like a fucking poodle brought him down. Like a
it
dog.
Was.
Like, when he's at a party and a dog runs by him and brushes his leg, does he fall down? I mean, come on, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking him to be Big Ben in the pocket with guys draped on him. I'm asking him, you got to have at least a little bit of escapability, a little bit of toughness, a little bit of, I don't even know what the word is. You got to get away from it sometimes. You can't just go down like that all the time. A lot of times he looks like he's 45 years old. A lot of times he does.
Yeah, because he moves like it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And you talk about being at Soldier Field in the middle of January in the snow. How the hell are we supposed to have a chance to win if our quarterback's not going to buck up? And you know, I'm looking ahead, but still.
No, I think you're exactly right. I like Kirk Cousins, I got kind of ragged on Daily Norseman for saying that. Yeah, you know, I hate the guy. I don't. I like Kirk Cousins. I'm not a big fan of the contract, but that's the going rate for a quarterback.
Right.
With the salary cap going up, it looks like another $11 million. That's not even going to be that big of a deal, I don't think. Be that as it may, you're absolutely right, Drew. One thing I was talking, doing another thing here before I came on. The one thing I really liked about Kevin Stefanski is that he seemed to call plays to the strengths of the Vikings. Not only Kirk Cousins, but the offensive line. He got Cousins mobile, rolling out, able to see the field more, survey the field with a little extra time. They were doing a lot of zone blocking or trap blocking in the running game than they seemed to be doing. Where DeFilippo at the end just sort of got in a rut, and it seemed to me that he was calling plays that went right into the teeth of the weakness of the Vikings.
Sure.
And nobody was doing anything with that. And so if Stefanski can keep doing that and Cousins can eliminate that one or two really bad play a game, which he sort of seems to be known for, the Vikings can make some noise in the playoffs.
That first drive was fantastic, Ted. It was fantastic.
It was.
They looked sharp. I think they averaged 10.8 yards a play on that drive.
On the opening drive?
Yes.
Wow.
And you could probably put all three of them in together. But, you know, it's like Viking fans, we're up 21-0, and we're in there. We're driving for another one, and then it happens. And we're like,
Well, you know, here's the thing. And I'll kind of defend Cousins a little bit here, because there had been – I can't remember if it was a long Dalvin Cook run or a completed pass that would have either been a first down or a second and short in Miami territory. They got called back for a holding penalty that ended up putting the Vicings in third and long, which caused them to call the screen pass, which was the interception and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, yes. And we've talked about before, and I talked to Chris about this. If there's going to be turnovers, we're going to have turnovers. Let's just not make them six touchdown turnovers.
Yeah, please. Exactly.
I mean, please. We've had six of those this season. That's way too many.
I mean, hasn't been that many.
If you're good, a couple fumbles, and I think two fumbles and maybe three pick sixes, four pick sixes.
Four pick sixes, I think.
That might be more than Tarkenton had his whole career. But what I'm saying is you're going to turn the ball over, just turn it over, and let's play some defense. Don't turn it over and give him a touchdown. I mean, it's happened far too many times.
I agree. Absolutely agree. Yeah.
And that's when you talk about postseason, you know, cream of the crop, top of the teams are coming up. Turnovers are amplified a lot in the playoffs. They're really, really big in the playoffs. Not that, you know.
When Case Keenum threw that pick six in the NFC Championship game, it completely changed the complexion of that game.
Yes, it did.
The Vikings were steamrolled from that point on because the Eagles got momentum. They got the crowd behind them. They got the crowd fired up. And it was pretty much over.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I'm, you know, I'm just going to have to live with it with Cousins. I don't think it's going to change. We're going to have to hope that mistakes don't cost us. And we know the Vikings don't bounce back well mentally from big mistakes. We've seen that all season.
I thought they did okay on Sunday.
Yeah, but I'd say Sunday was about the first time they've done it.
Well, you know who saved us on Sunday? Cheryl's.
Yeah.
Daryl's grabbed all that. All the momentum was swirling down the shitter, baby. It was toiling down the – it was gone. And then he ran that 70-yard punt return back, and it was like us being on the ropes and then throwing a left hook and staggering our opponent. We got right back in it with that. So
yeah. And then Bailey kicked a field goal and he didn't miss.
7 for 7. Hell yeah. But we got the win and we moved on. I missed you on the show afterwards, the Raw show. And I at least wanted to get your takes on how you felt overall about it. And it felt like a really good win. I think it was the best win we've had all season.
Yeah, I would agree. Either that or the Jets game.
And I called 31-14, so I was in the ballpark. But I knew I did call we were going to go over 30. You guys didn't think that was going to happen, but I kind of felt it this week. So,
Dave, you got your mess on snafu there, or what's going on?
No, I'm still trying.
Yeah, you are. We can see you.
Well, I got my phone going. You notice there my avatar's up, but I'm doing this over my phone right now.
All right, let's go.
What were you saying? What were you saying 20 minutes ago? Yeah, Drew phased out on that show.
He did.
All of a sudden, the equipment's on the other foot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Every time I turn around, it's always a problem with you guys. Every time.
Every time. That's
a pretty good Tony Montana imitation, I got to say.
Princess, I told you, no kids, didn't I? No kids. On that Blige run.
Yes.
Joe Zimmer took credit for it.
And you take credit for it?
Oh. You mean blame?
Yeah, he said he called the
come
wrong
on, defense. Dude.
Well, that's blame. He called overpressure on the right, where he had Smith and who was it? I think Barr up to blitz.
You could tell in the replay it was a misfungal, whatever you want to call it. You know what? That's just a football thing. That shit happened.
Waynes had the coverage. Waynes didn't recognize it quick enough, and that's when he blew by or had the tackle. Waynes was being run out by the receiver.
If Smith beats that backside tackle, it's a 2-yard loss. And he beats that back or that backside block, and he beats that backside block more often than he doesn't.
Sometimes you get a good play against another alignment, and it just hits. That's just happens. The football thing.
Vikings bounce back and won big. Don't care about it anymore.
Yeah, not like they gave up 62. Fuck's sake. Got the Lions this week, guys. Second go around with them.
Yep, going to the Motor City.
That's when we set our sack record. We set the sack record at week 9. We beat them 24-9. We set the sack record. We were all over the place that day.
How many sacks did we get on Stafford that day? 8?
We got 10 sacks on Stafford.
Man, we hit him. We hit him more than a pinata at a kid's birthday party.
Woo! That was Paris Hilton hitting. Hunter got that was Paris Hilton. Yeah, he got Hunter got 3.5 sacks and 9 tackles that day. It's the day he went off. He got 30 skull points. He was on fire that day. Cook had 90 yards rushing. Cousins had a fumble, but you know, other than that, I do want to point out this is an important stat. Last time we played Detroit, Cousins was 18 for 22. Very efficient in the air. He only had 4 incompletions in that game. So
that's kind of his deal, though. I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, it sounds weird when I'm going to say this, but he's efficient with the ball and he takes care of the ball, with the exception of that one really bad, inopportune turnover. I mean, if he can get rid of that, the dude is a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah, he's like the guy at the party. We're having fun. He's doing karaoke. He's telling jokes. You go, this guy's a great guy. And then he erupts into this violent behavior. And you're going, all of a sudden he just explodes into this violent behavior. And he's running around with a baseball bat saying, I hate you. So it's like, yeah, you get the best of him. And it's like, yeah, he's 18 for 22 is good in the air. But, you know, I looked at his turn. He had a turnover in that game. He's had a turnover in almost every game. So,
yeah, he leads the NFL in turnovers, doesn't he?
Yes, 17 is what we've had, and by him,
way too much.
Our defense was pretty good last time we played. We held the Lions to 209 total yards, and they were 0-for-3 in the red zone. Lions do not have a very good offense at all, guys. No, so
didn't they trade? Was it Golden Tate that week? They traded like 3 or 4 days before that game.
Exactly right. They traded Golden Tate. They traded him 4 days before we played him. But we 209 in today's modern football. You hold a team to 209 yards. That's pretty stingy.
Yeah, but Detroit's just not a very good football team.
No, they're 24th overall. They're 21st passing offense, 24th rushing. They got some injuries, as Darren Campbell pointed out today. He said, Drew, they're pretty banged up. They haven't done really anything offensively. They're -6 in turnovers, so they turn the ball over. this is setting up for us to be, you know, but it's on the road in Detroit, and, you know, anything can happen when we're on the road. So
I'm feeling a lot better after last week, though.
You know, hey, Ted, we are the league leader in sacks now.
I saw that. I saw you post that earlier. I meant to comment. That's awesome, you
know,
man.
You know what, though? At the beginning, at episode 2 of Good Morning Gallahorn, way back in September, I asked Dave, it may have been the preseason, I asked Dave Stefano how many sacks will Hunter get 15 sacks? And he says, he'll get 15 for sure. And I said, are you sure? He says, yeah, if he gets 15 sacks, I will do the Jared Allen dance and post the live video. That's what he said he would do.
There we go.
Hey, Dave, he's at 14 and a half, baby. Get that fucking rope ready. We want to see the Jared Allen dance. That's what he said, though. I'm holding him to it.
Okay.
He tied for second in the league with 14 and a half. Donald has 16 and a half, but there's quite a drop-off, too. Our next guy has, like, 5. It's really a big drop-off in sacks. So Hunter's running away with it in terms of the sack total. But we are officially 47 leads the NFL right now. And it's the most sacks we've ever had at this stage for a Zimmer team. This is the highest sack total we've ever had.
Wow.
So we got to keep the pressure on. I'm figuring 10 this week, another 8 next week.
No, we'll only get 2 because Trubisky will run out of the pocket and run for 172 yards. God, I hate that kid.
Oh, you know, no. What if they sit people, Ted? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I did a post on Daily Norseman about playoff odds and all that, and I said, you know, I think the Bears will be sitting guys because they'll be locked into the 3 seed. And that sort of went out the window when the Rams lost to the Eagles on Sunday night. The Rams play, I think, San Francisco
and Arizona.
They'll be heavily favored their last 2 games. But, I mean, the Bears are within a game of the number 2 seed, and they have the tiebreaker. I don't think the Bears will be sitting anybody in that Week 17 game.
Well, that would be if the Rams lose to San Francisco, and that's the only game I can see them possibly losing to.
Hey, do you guys know our playoff scenario? Like, we beat the Lions and go 8-6-1. What do we need to have happen before we clinch?
The Vikings can clinch on Sunday if they win. They got to beat Detroit, obviously. Philadelphia has to lose. And the Redskins have to lose.
Who do they got?
Philadelphia plays Houston at home. And Washington plays at Tennessee.
With Billy Kilmer at quarterback? They're not going to win.
Sonny Jurgensen.
They're not going to win that game. Washington's done.
No. Philadelphia kind of worries me, though.
I'm worried about it. They're a different team with Foles. They really are. A different team.
Yeah, they really are.
I'm worried about them making a run.
It's only Foles in the second half of the season.
Not that we could finish tied with them, but they're a different team than we played. That team I saw Sunday night was real deal. They outplayed. They were 13-point dogs going into that, and they won it outright, easy.
Yeah, they whipped.
Well, who would you rather play in the playoffs?
The Cardinals.
I would rather go to Dallas than Chicago.
I'd like to play Dallas. We match up well against Dallas. I think so.
Yeah, but we don't know how it's going to finish up. So, and if we clinch Sunday and week 17 proves useless to Chicago, i.e. they've locked up the 3 seed, they can't get the 2nd seed. What does that week 17 game look like?
Preseason game. Week two of the preseason is what it looks like.
Is there a possibility that it could be useless to us week 17? I mean, can we not? If the Eagles lose and the Redskins lose and we win Sunday, what are we playing for week 17? Can we change positions or not?
They could go to the 5th seed. They're a half game behind Seattle. Lose. If the Vikings went out, Seattle loses 1 or 2, the Vikings can jump into the 5th seed.
Fuck, we should have won that game in Seattle. Damn it!
Yeah, we should have.
Son of a bitch.
Should have beat the Bears in Chicago.
Green Bay to start off with.
Yeah. You know,
we have the 4th ranked defense overall in the entire league. We're really rolling the defense.
Defense is really is showing out lately.
We're 4th against the pass, and that's losing Hughes, our first-round pick. We're 4th against the pass. You know, Sendejo hasn't been there. Harris has filled in. Our secondary, our depth in the secondary has really helped this team this year. Holden Hill has come on.
He's very good.
Mackenzie Alexander has turned it around this year. I think the last month he's been playing really some. He's really good on the blitz package. He's been getting better. He's really good back there. And I've been really high on him.
The highest scored player on the Vikings this last week with a 90 something.
Look at our secondary. Smith usually has to carry everybody. He didn't do anything last week, and the other guys carried us. I was really happy with it. I was really happy.
The team seems to be peaking, right? Especially the defense.
Not offensively, though.
Well, after there's a huge difference with last week and Stefanski and
I agree,
all the garbage before that.
But let's follow it up. If we go into Detroit and we have 7 points in the fourth quarter and we're fighting a 10-7 game, then it hasn't gotten any better.
Right, but if we go into Detroit and we've laid a 50-burger on them.
Oh, damn, y'all, meow, meow. I'll be a happy mofo.
If we go into Detroit and put a 50-burger on the Lions, we're winning the Super Bowl, boys.
Yeah.
Okay. I really
– I like that.
Honestly, he's got to – Stefanski has to do it more than one game. But I thought he called a very Pat Shurmur-like game for the Vikings on Sunday. I mean, I would argue he probably had a little bit of trouble adjusting on the fly, right, which I think is natural. But he got caught up, and he figured out what was going on. And after that Sherrill's punt return, Vikings got a field goal and then a couple touchdowns, and they were rolling again, man. He puts on another performance like this, take the interim tag off and make him the OC, and let's roll. Let's roll.
And we're playing a Lions team that, you know, look, come on, guys. They're one step away from going to the golf, going to the hot tub. They don't want to play. I mean, they want to cash it in. It's kind of, you know, last time we played them, they had 70 plays and we only had 46. We had more yards. They had 24 more plays than us and we had 80 more yards than they did. Very strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
You give me impressive numbers every week. I love it.
Well, you know what? I go through the stats and I thought, oh, this one's boring. This one's boring. This one's boring. And wow, look at this one. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of what I do. I try to prepare myself because I know you guys will leave me behind if I'm not.
Now I want to go back to Stefanski.
Dude, your face is all red. Did you shoot steroids when we were talking?
No, it's because I'm on my crappy camera now. With Stefanski,
you're not having a heart attack or something.
If he does a Stefanski good job, okay.
Define good.
Lays a 50 burger. Okay.
That's better than good. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
that's fucking damn good.
The offense is efficient, scores lots, looks great. Second coming of Shurmur. He's doing the same thing. He's mixing everything up, spreading things out. He's putting in two tight ends. He's running play action pass like the best of them. Everything's working perfectly. Ted, you just said make him OC. Now, I think making him OC would increase our chance of keeping him next year than if we leave him in the interim tag and then somebody tries to scarf him up as an OC next year. Make sense?
Yeah. I mean, lock the dude up. Give him a 3-year deal. I don't care.
Lock it up!
Do what you got to do.
Because if we don't, somebody's going to show him the money as an OC. Now they may have second thoughts to make him a head coach. That's why I'm saying we may get at least 2 seasons out of him.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get head coach jive.
Let's give him a couple more games before we call him Brian Billick.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
But John DeFilippo's already in head coach conversations everywhere.
I don't think so anymore. I don't think he is anymore. No, I especially when you compare and contrast month of the Vikings offense compared to what Stefanski did against the Dolphins, and DeFilippo went up against some pretty mediocre defenses too, and the Vikings offense didn't do beans. I would think the head coaching buzz for Flip is dead for the time being. I think he'll still be a head coach one day, but it's not going to be next year. I'll be very surprised if it is.
I don't think there's anybody in the whole Vikings building that's thinking about coordinators, coaching, coach, I mean, players. Nobody's thinking about next year. Everybody's concentrated on, Stefanski, this is your deal. Let's go. We'll worry about giving you an extension or making you. I mean, that all doesn't matter right now, does it? I mean,
there's talk all across.
Well, to me, it doesn't matter.
About coaches.
We're worried about who our coordinator is going to be next year.
Teams have already, eliminated. Well, a good chunk of them have already eliminated themselves. So that talk is going on the national media.
Well, I suggest to the Vikings, if I could call Zimmer, get away from the round table and get your ass into the projector and start looking at the fucking Lions before you walk into a buzzsaw.
I'm sure he is. He's had the Lions number. The only time he has a hard time with the Lions is in Minnesota.
I hate the Lions. We ended that this year, though. We beat them in our house finally.
Yes. That's right.
So it's going to, we're going up. And we don't have, singing that long national anthem, so that's not going to drag us out. So
Aretha.
Yeah, that's because she's deceased.
She is deceased. I miss her. I miss her voice. I used to listen to her quite often, but that national anthem really strung out pretty long, and it got me off my game.
That's still going on.
But I'm looking forward to this line. I'm looking forward to carrying over what we did to the Dolphins. It's tough with Viking fans. Viking fans say, you can't beat a winning team. We beat a winning team, but it's the shitty Dolphins. I mean, you can't please them. You know what I'm saying? You can't fucking please them, dude. It's like, but it's the Dolphins. But they had a winning record. So come on now.
Yeah, but then I heard, but they don't now.
Consistency. I just want to see consistency. I want to see the offense carry it over and not go through that two-quarter lull like they had in the middle of the game.
Yes, and I think, like David said, we got a good start. We got two good quarters. We could turn that into four good quarters. And to piggyback on something the great Stefano said, he also said, and this is before the show, about if this team gets rolling offensively and defensively, nobody's going to want to step up to the mic and play us in the playoffs. Nobody will.
I 100% agree with that. Yes.
Because going to New Orleans, we can beat those kind of teams. Look, and remember what we talked about a month ago, Ted, right around the end of November, we talked about how defense is coming back, right? The cold weather teams are coming back. Look at the Saints the last 2 weeks. Look at the Rams. Yeah. Look at all this high-powered Madden offenses. It's all dying down, just like we talked about. Defense is coming back, baby.
And here's the thing. The Vikings, yes, they lost to Seattle. They lost to the Bears. They lost to the Saints. They lost to the Rams. But if they don't make stupid plays in that game, you could argue they could have won all four of those games.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, if this offense under Stefanski, if this offense under Stefanski does what it did against the Dolphins and they can eliminate those dumb plays, man, they're tough out. They're a very tough out.
Don't beat yourself.
Exactly.
It's about matchups. You know what matchups are? A good definition of matchups is when you send Cooper Kupp across the field when you know Barr's going to have to cover him. That's a matchup you win, and that's how you get touchdown. That's what game planning is for. That's what film study is for. That's what finding matchups is for. You got to do things like that, and that's what we need to do. And I think that's what Stefanski will do.
And I think he did a very good job of that on Sunday. And Mike Zimmer has done a much better job with the defense the last 5-6 weeks or so.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Drew.
What?
I think it's time for Way or No Way.
Way or No Way. You guys had a tie last week on Way or No Way.
No way.
Yeah, 3-3, and I can do a quick 10-second update on it. You have the sacks over under 3.5. Ted took under, kind of missed that one. You both got the Cousins TD passes under 3. We only had 2. Perfect on the kicks. Ted went yes. Dave went no. And on and so forth. Dave predicted the first play almost too perfectly. Left tackle to Cooks. But he called 1 yard, and it was 6 yards. So he got that one. But you guys tied. So going into this week, we got Ted leading 4-1 on week one. And then you guys tied last week. So here we go. And look, I brought a fucking pen this week. Way or no way, let's jump into it. The last time we played the Lions back in week 9, we had 10 sacks. How many this time? Closest guy will win.
8.
Wow. Dave's calling for eight. He ain't dicking around.
I'm going 8.5.
8.5.
No, we can't do. No, I thought it was thinking single player. No. Man, they 7. Oh, I'm going 7. Seven.
Okay, 7 for Ted, 8 for Dave.
Realistically, it's probably about 4. But
not against the Lions, man. They beat Stafford like a piñata.
Yeah, their O-line's all beat up again. Let's see. Question number 2. Does Cousins play a turnover-free game?
No.
No. I'll say yes, just to be contrary.
Number 3, Vikings total rushing yards. Closest to the number will win.
Go ahead, Dave.
250. Dave.
250?
250. What, are they going to roll? Are they going to roll out the triple option?
250, baby. Hold on.
Did they hire? What, will they pick up Butch Wolfolk? What happened?
I'm going to go
250.
157.
157 in honor of the great Dwayne Rudd.
Dwayne Rudd.
Okay. I'm giving you guys a clue for the game after this, by the way. I'm giving you 2 clues this show. See if you're smart enough to pick up on them. Number 4, Rudy catches. Over, under, 3.5.
Over.
Under.
Dad goes with the over. Dave goes with the under. And your last question. Total points for the Vikings this week. Closest will win.
50, burger.
220 yards, 50 points. What are you, Clemson? What the fuck are you talking about?
I guess they must have signed Archie Griffin. and they're playing Ferris State.
No, I expect long runs.
Do we have Buster Rhymes on our team? What? What happened?
All right. Did you say Vikings points?
No, just Vikings points. Not
27.
27. Okay, well, that does it. Wait, best war movie.
Oh, that's easy.
What?
But it's...
What?
It's Ted's turn.
Oh.
Best war movie.
Best, like, man.
It's an extra credit question.
Best war movie, I'm going to go with Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Ryan's Privates. Okay. How about you, David?
Mine has always been Patton.
That's a
that's a great movie. It was either Saving Private Ryan or Patton.
That's just a little extra credit for myself because you know what? I like to know about my co-hosts. You know, I really do. I like to know how they live and what makes them tick, and I learn things about them because you know what? That's what I bring to the show.
Somebody brings something to this show.
I like Patton so much. I have owned the soundtrack in just about every form it's come out in.
Give us a one-liner from Patton. Give us a quote. Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's the famous scenes, but it's like crap through a goose.
Okay, there we go. That's what we're going to call the show, Crap Through a Goose. Okay.
All right. Now, we're off to Detroit this week. Is there any last things you have to say, Drew?
Meow, meow, Viking cow.
Ted.
Vikings win. Vikings win.
Hey, give me a spicy take for the game. Give me something good to chew on while I'm watching this thing.
Spicy take. Let's see. All right, here's a spicy take. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen will both have over 100 yards receiving.
Bam! Bam! Do we have a graphic where we put bam up there right there?
Yeah. Skull, everybody!